Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
MPGA.
MPGA.
Yeah.
That's a good one. All right. Matt, go on.
Make pots great again.
Oh, I like that. Let's get the hats out. Let's do it.
Are you sure? You sure you want to be associated with that kind of thing?
No, maybe not. Maybe not. Extraordinary scenes, of course, from Washington overnight. U.S. system obviously cited as the bastion of democracy, to see members of Congress cowering on the floor, police with guns drawn, quite incredible, protesters invading, smashing up the Capitol. I think it resulted, it took about 4 hours to get it under control. It was quite incredible. Some murmurings that the cabinet is thinking of invoking the 25th Amendment. I don't know if you've seen much on this, which would declare the president unfit for office. Removing for a period of time, clearly could fight against that process. Only 2 weeks to the inauguration. So whether we'll get to that point remains to be seen. Seems pretty unlikely to me.
Not enough time.
Yep.
Don't think there's enough time, but he's going to have hell to pay after he leaves office, I think. Now that, you know, talk of him sort of being sort of kind of pardoned and just sent off into the background, well, that's not going to happen because he's got so much support. But I'm sure that the powers that be in Washington will want him to make him pay for this one way or another.
Yeah, whether they'll be able to do so or whether they think it's probably better just to move on and try to bring the country together, if that is possible, will probably be a higher list of priorities than seeking revenge, one would suspect, on President Trump. Importantly, markets didn't really react to it, has to be said. US stocks closed in positive territory. We're well off the session highs, it has to be said, after those protesters did indeed surge into the Capitol. Markets perhaps more reacting to the blue wave that has finally emerged with Democrats controlling the Senate following the runoff race. Investors anticipating Democratic Congress and President will usher in greater spending, perhaps also higher debt as well, which will boost immediate growth prospects but may also create upward pressure on inflation, in turn lead to the prospect of higher interest rates, although still think that's some way off. Equities traded higher. In terms of the bond market, 10-year Treasury yields spiked above 1% first time since March. The dollar was a little bit weaker. Fears of regulatory risk filtered through to a sell-off in the technology sector. In fact, the Nasdaq future was down around 2% at one stage. In fact, the Nasdaq only closed down 0.6%. The S&P was in positive territory. I say it was up 0.6%. And we are looking at a positive start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 61 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 35 points. CAC corner in Paris up 58 points. And US futures have been gaining as the morning's gone on.
About London yesterday, up 3.5%. Boom.
Yeah, a strong performance coming through from London. Remember, the FTSE 100 was the big underperformer during the course of last year. FTSE 100, if memory serves me correctly, was down around about 14%. I think it was certainly Brazil, I think, was slightly worse than the FTSE 100. But beyond that, there weren't too many major indexes that generated a worse performance than what we saw in the UK. Some suggestion is, of course, that Brexit uncertainty out of the way, UK can become investable once again. But also, you could argue the UK is benefiting from part of this rotation trade that we know has been taking place, the rotation out of growth into value. Value stocks include the likes of the energy, I suppose the banks, and perhaps the mining stocks as well.
Yeah, just seeing reports of a near fist fight on the floor of the Senate a couple of hours ago as they were debating the Pennsylvania votes, which looked like they're going to be struck down. But certainly it's just a crazy situation at the moment, isn't it?
It certainly is a crazy situation, and America is the idea of exporting this concept of democracy and the strength of the Constitution. And despite the divisive presidential election process that we tend to see play out, particularly in terms of the debates, the one thing that has held pretty firm is this idea that the transfer of power is certainly seen as an orderly fashion and done in a civilized way, and we haven't seen that this time around. So it'll be an interesting couple of weeks as we do indeed head towards that inauguration.
Can you see the Republican Party splitting? Because I mean, a lot of Republican senators and congressmen and women have actually sort of jumped ship this morning after what happened last night, and have disassociated themselves from Donald Trump. So, you know, we could kind of see, I mean, he's got so much support, but he's probably got enough support to start his own party.
As support, whether we'll get to that point. Listen, I think Donald Trump will move on. There's some debate about whether he'll run again. One would suggest that.
Depends where he's going to move, doesn't it? Riker Island, by the looks of it.
Incredibly unlikely. I think you go through these periods of turmoil within parties, but I think the GOP will come together, one would suspect, and some of the policies will live on. Listen, I think if you look back at the Trump era, clearly it's been, as I say, a divisive term, but there have been some real positives, certainly around the deregulation, the tax cuts, and of course the stimulus to try and boost the economy. So before the pandemic, we should remember actually the US economy was in pretty good shape, quite frankly. Historically low unemployment, very strong growth coming through. So much of the policies of President Trump can be embraced, even if the manner in which they were achieved or portrayed can't be the same said for.
Well, I suppose it depends on which side of the floor you're standing on. If you think that the Trump presidency have yielded some benefits, probably for investors, but not for ordinary citizens. And now the Democrats do have control of the Senate. So is that going to upset the markets?
I don't think so. I think you've got to be realistic. The true balance of power, I mean, the fact that you've got the 50-50 split and the casting vote with the Vice President Kamala Harris still tells you that it's pretty tight. And the reality is it's not going to be an open goal for Democrats just to push ahead with any type of policy they want. The larger policy pieces will need broad-based support. So actually, if you look at it, the true balance of power is not with Kamala Harris. The true balance of power is with probably the moderate on both sides of the aisle.
Okay, Samsung having a very good time.
Yeah, Samsung are forecasting fourth quarter profit jumped by a third as remote working and elevated levels of TV watching during the course of the pandemic has fueled demand for chips and display panels, offsetting weaker smartphone sales. They project profit rose 33% to $8.75 billion over the same period last year. Shipment of memory chips by Samsung, the world's biggest supplier, likely rose 10% from the September quarter. Chips account for roughly half of Samsung's profits, after a positive outlook for the division has been filtering through to markets. We know, of course, it's fueled the big rise in Samsung's share price, up 55% since September. But higher competition, particularly from iPhone 12, resulted in a 20% fall in smartphone shipments from Q3. Though demand for the iPhone 12 has pushed up sales of Samsung's OLED screens, which certainly helps them as well. However, increased manufacturing and marketing costs, stronger yuan, has dented reported profits.
And it's amazing what you can do with a few billion, isn't it? Amazon investing in affordable housing in the US.
Yeah, Amazon said it would spend something like $2 billion. It's hard to say exactly what that means, but said they would spend $2 billion to create affordable homes in regions where three of its major U.S. employment hubs are located. The company intends to create at least 20,000 affordable housing units in Washington State, in Arlington, Virginia, and Nashville, Tennessee. Amazon and other tech companies have faced criticism for driving up home prices in areas such as the likes of San Francisco due to the large number of workers that have flooded to the region over the course of the past decade, prompting the likes of Alphabet and Facebook to invest in affordable housing. A large proportion of Amazon's investment will be through low-cost loans, it has to be said. They said they're looking to preserve or build affordable housing for moderate to low-income families.
Yeah, it's chicken feed for Jeff Bezos, isn't it? $2 billion.
Yeah, I don't know what his personal wealth is standing at, somewhere $160 billion or something in that sort of order.
Give or take a few billion.
Yes. Someone's had a good year.
Now, I know you're going to send me a large parcel from the UK, but so make sure that you go down to the post office and fill in the customs declaration before you do it.
Well, normally, of course, I send you a vast array of beautiful presents over the festive period, but unfortunately, due to Brexit and concerns over red tape and paperwork, I was unable to do that this time around.
Mm. And fish can't get out either.
No, apparently so. Billingsgate Market, which is in the heart of Canary Wharf, somewhere I used to know very well but haven't been to for some time, apparently experiencing some disruption as a result of Brexit and the new restrictions that have come into place.
Not to mention Northern Ireland.
Very true, very true.
All right. Won't go on about it. Foreign exchanges.
No. Pound against the dollar just below 1.36 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.23. 1 euro, 10 cents for your British pound this morning.
Okay, you better get down the Prince's and get some Make Pots Great Again t-shirts printed up.
I can see a big movement. I can see it building as we speak.
Okay. Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hang pots and Barclays.